Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to encourage you as you're making your travel plans to remember JohnnyDollarAir.com. JohnnyDollarAir.com is a Priceline affiliate, so you can save money by either naming your own price on hotels, rental cars, and airline tickets, or by choosing from great published fares. Plus, if you do end up deciding to purchase through JohnnyDollarAir.com, part of your purchase price goes to support the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. So remember when making travel plans to go to JohnnyDollarAir.com first. Well, it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and that action-packed expense account's taking him to Arizona as we go ahead and we take a listen to The Midas Touch Matter, Parts 1 and 2.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Pat McCracken, Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Oh, hi, Pat.
This is my third call. Where you been?
Out buying some tackle. Want to go fishing?
Fishing?
Yeah, I'm heading down to New York State. Esopus River, maybe the Beaver Kill. Trying to snag myself some nice trout. And, Patsy, my fishing is one thing you aren't going to interfere with.
Wouldn't think of it. But why don't you try Lake Mojave?
Where's that?
Along the Colorado River. Out between Nevada and Arizona.
What?
Sure, be the guest of Greater Southwest Insurance and Liability.
What are you talking about?
I don't know how you'd value those Esopus River trout, but there's a fish out there that may be worth $3 million. Johnny?
I'll be right over.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. To Greater Southwest Insurance and Liability Company, Kingman, Arizona office. Following is an accounting of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Midas Touch matter. Expense account item one, cab fare from my apartment to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, 8242 North Spring. When I got there, Pat McCracken was standing holding the door of his office open for me.
Mind you, Johnny, but don't bother sitting down.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Means you haven't got time, you all pack.
Oh, you bet I am. For a trip to the Esopus and some of those pretty rainbows and eastern brook trout. Got a new lure oil called Fast Strike I want to try out. I hear it's great.
Sorry, but if there's going to be any actual fishing, it's going to be for Lake Mojave bass.
Says you.
Here are your plane tickets. Here to New York, nonstop to Los Angeles, and out to Las Vegas. And there you'll have to go to Kingman, Arizona by car.
Slow down, boys. Slow down.
The man is Ian Kingman is Jake Kessler at Southwest Insurance.
Oh, Pat.
Yeah?
You mind telling me what it's all about?
The Midas Touch Mine.
New racket and uranium?
I said Midas. Gold mine.
Oh, sure. Well, what's the insurance angle?
Ask Jake Kessler when you get to Kingman.
Well, but you can at least tell
Look,
me what...
you've only got 20 minutes to catch your plane to New York.
You mean if I decide that...
And with $1.5 million, maybe $3 million at stake, nobody's going to quibble too much over your expense account.
Maybe I should take a crack at those Lake Mojave bass. Expense account items 2 and 3, 290 even, a handful of American Express traveler's checks, and cab fare back to my apartment for my luggage. Then to the airport from my plane to New York to Las Vegas, Nevada. It was 11:30 p.m. when the big plane slowly glided down out of the clear starlit sky. And unless you've seen the millions, billions of stars that twinkle brightly through the clear, dry air over the Mojave Desert, you've missed a real thrill. We glided down toward the landing strip on the edge of the town of Las Vegas. From the air, the myriad multicolored lights made the fabulous resort sparkle like a field of jewels. Item 4, 30 cents phone calls to car rental agencies. They were all closed. Item 5, 65 cents per cab to the Flamingo Hotel, where I decided to spend the night and drive on to Kingman in the morning. Item 6, hotel overnight, food, and incidentals. $178.30. If you know Las Vegas, you know what that word incidentals means.
15 odds and black. Place your bets, please.
No, the dice are passing. All right, here we go. 6 points.
I'll say this much. I tried to make some expense money on the side, but, well, I guess I shouldn't have tried to cover so many of the gambling joints. If I'd stayed at the Flamingo, where I'd always made me a buck or two at the casino. But this time, Lady Luck just wasn't on my side. Anyway, well... Item 7, $50. Deposit on a rental car the next morning. I headed south and east toward Kingman, Arizona. First stop, Hoover Dam, where that tremendous hunk of steel and masonry straddles the Nevada-Arizona state line. And I took a brief but longing look at what I could see of Giant Lake Mead. I wanted to stay right there, break out my fishing tackle, and take a crack at some of the huge lunker bass for which Lake Mead is famous. But duty is duty, or something. Anyhow, I hit the highway again across the hot, dry desert toward the city of Kingman. At this time of year, at this time of morning, the thermometer hits the 100 mark without any trouble at all. And the occasional swimming pools and motels outside Kingman look pretty inviting. But I drove straight to Jake Kessler's insurance office on East Palm Drive.
Well, hi. You must be Dollar.
It's a good name. Come on in.
Jake was tall, angular, well-tanned, and dressed in blue jeans, open denim shirt, high-heeled boots, and broad-brimmed hat. He looked as though he'd be more at home on a range pony than in this insurance office.
All right, Dollar, let me tell you what this is all about.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Kessler.
Jake, you want the folks around town to think I'm putting on airs?
Okay, Jake.
By the way, Johnny, I hope you didn't make any arrangements to stay right here in Kingman, did you?
No, my bags are still out in the car.
Good. I got a place waiting for you down at Catherine Landing.
What's that?
Lake Mojave Resort's what they call it now. It's nice cabins, good restaurant, nice people, right down at the edge of the lake. Too bad you aren't a fisherman.
Well, I just happened to have brought along a couple of rods and reels.
Good boy, then you'll love it. Buster Favor down there will show you spots where you can haul in the prettiest mess of largemouth bass you ever saw. 5-6 pounds, maybe more.
Oh, stop making my mouth water, Jake. I'm supposed to be here working on a case.
Well, every man's entitled to a little time off for fishing. And you look like you could stand some.
Brother, you are killing me. Listen, Pat McCracken at Universal Adjustment Bureau said something about a gold mine.
Yeah, I contacted Pat because I knew he'd know where to find you. It's the Midas Touch Mine, Johnny, and it's right down that neighborhood where you'll be staying.
Well?
The mine was abandoned back in the early 30s. Worked out, apparently. But about a year ago, Hard Luck Dennis took another look at it.
Who's he?
Dennis? Yeah, prospector, promoter. Here and there, Arizona, Nevada, California, he's found himself an old mine, pecked away at it, and managed to scratch out a fair living for himself.
You said promoter.
Yeah, well, that was in Texas, mostly. Never was able to get the full story, but it appears he got some folks to invest in some kind of phony oil stock down there a couple of years ago and had to skip out. Couldn't have been too serious, though, because the law never bothered chasing him up here.
Or else he was able to make things look legal enough.
Could be, could be. Anyhow, he's been back in this country for a while now, poking around the hills, looking for the big strike again. You know how prospectors are.
Yeah, I've heard.
Finally, a while back, he started prowling around the old Midas Touch. First thing you know, he'd got a lease on it.
Well, I still don't see the insurance connection.
You will. You will. And you won't like it.
Okay, go on.
Well, next thing we knew, he'd got a report on some ore samples he'd brought into town here at the assay office. Johnny, well, you wouldn't believe it.
Good, huh?
Johnny, it looked like a prospector's dream come true, or worth about $1,100 a ton. All right, now, it takes money to work a mine like that, no matter how you figure it. First of all, he had a big pumping job to do.
Pumping? Out there in the middle of the desert?
That's right. You see, when there was just the Colorado River running down the valley, it was different. But since Davis Dam was put in to form Lake Mojave about 10 years ago, the level of the water table in that whole area is raised considerably.
Oh, I see.
The Midas Touch was in a low spot, and parts of it were dug pretty deep. So now, with seepage from the lake feeding it, the lower level filled up with water.
Yeah. Well, now, Jake...
Simmer down, Johnny. I'm getting to it. Hard Luck Dennis needed money. A lot of money. So who should he come to but the Haskell brothers, three of my best clients.
So what happened?
I hate to keep chewing your ear off this way, but I've got to give you some background.
Shoot.
Ernie, Kevin, and George Haskell, they're money men from back east.
What do you mean, money men?
Oh, brokers. You know, stock market.
Oh.
Yeah, they made themselves a big pile of dough, got the usual ulcers doing it, and then decided to give up and get as far away from New York as possible.
I don't blame them, but about
this... But when they got out here, instead of just retiring and taking it easy, you know, much as you might like it at first, you can get pretty bored just riding around on horseback and hunting and fishing all the time.
Get tired of fishing?
Huh?
Nothing. Go on.
Yeah, well, after a few months, they decided they'd have to have something to do with themselves, or at least something to occupy their minds, so they bought up the old Too Lazy Two ranch.
Cattle?
80,000 acres northeast of here. Not very good grazing land, but enough to keep 200-300 head of beef alive, and with Alex Bundy as their foreman, they did all right.
Well, now let's get down to...
Gentlemen ranchers, they called themselves, and that's just about what it amounted to. They built a nice house on the property, settled in it, and... Well, not much work, but just enough worry and responsibility so that time didn't hang too heavy on their hands. Now.
Now?
Now. All their insurance is with my company. The Straight Life, that is. $500,000 apiece.
And you're afraid something's
going to... Yes, sir. Half a million each and double indemnity.
Wow. A million apiece in case of death by accident.
Right. Accident. So, let's get back to Hard Luck Dennis.
Well, that part's easy, isn't it?
Is it?
Sure. Dennis needs money to open his mine. The Haskell boys are obviously loaded.
Right. First off, even before he got his lease, he tried to sweet-talk him into putting up some money, but after years of fooling around with those bulls and bears in Wall Street, they were too smart for that. So we took him down in the mine, let him chip off some samples of ore, and had him take it themselves down at the assay office.
And was that the ore that you said tested so high?
Yes, sir. And from the minute they saw the report on it, you couldn't have held them back with a 20-mule team.
How much did they go in for?
$20,000 apiece, cash, on the strength of a handwritten agreement with Hard Luck Dennis that they'd get 30% of whatever came out of the mine.
Okay, Jake, now let's get down to business. Are you afraid that something connected with this Midas Touch mine and Hard Luck Dennis has put the Haskell brothers in jeopardy?
I'm afraid it's got beyond that, Johnny.
Huh?
3 days ago, Hard Luck took the Haskells over to the mine again for another look.
Yeah?
Cave in. They finished digging their bodies out yesterday morning. All three of them.
Hard Luck Dennis?
He wasn't caught in that cave in.
Where is he?
Who knows?
Hmm. Then for you, it's a question of a $3 million payoff on the policies or $1.5 million.
Yep, Johnny. A question of accident or murder.
Then for me, it's a matter of finding a killer.
Yeah. Named Hard Luck Dennis. And when you do, look out for him.
Yeah. Tell me, Jake, does anybody know I've come here to look into this?
Oh, the whole town, I'm afraid. Maybe I should have kept it quiet.
Well, sometimes it is better if... Where are the policies?
Here, I'll get them for you. They're right in this little side office.
Who are the beneficiaries?
There's only one. The girl that is, or that was, married to Kevin Haskell. The other two are bachelors. She lives at the ranch.
She filed a claim yet?
No.
Has, can you make the coroner's reports available to me?
Anytime you want.
I'll take it for you. Johnny Dollar, I mean, this is the office
Dollar,
of...
You're the one I want to talk to.
Huh?
I want to talk to you. I want you to meet me alone.
Oh? Who are you?
Tell you where and when in a second. And don't come carrying a gun. Because, mister, I can outdraw you 2-1.
Who is this?
They call me Hard Luck Dennis.
Johnny Dollar, I mean, this is the office of Jake...
Dollar, you're the one I want to talk to.
Huh?
You heard me. I want you to meet me alone.
Oh, who are you?
Tell you when and where in a second. Don't come carrying a gun, because, mister, I can outdraw you 2-1.
Who is this?
They call me Hard Luck Dennis.
Oh, you planning to add another murder to that of the Haskell brothers?
13 miles out of Kingman on the highway east. Little side road to the right, Mark Yucca Trail.
Now listen.
1.25 miles on, you'll see an old miner shack. Be there at 3 o'clock sharp.
And what if I decide...
Remember what I told you. Bring somebody with you or try anything funny and you'll never get out of this desert alive.
Hello.
Did that call for me, Johnny?
No. No, it wasn't, Jake.
Hmm?
But I wonder why a killer would call me.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Kingman, Arizona, to the Greater Southwest Insurance and Liability Company. Following is a report of expenditures during my investigation of the Midas Touch matter. Jake Kessler, local representative for Greater Southwest Insurance and Liability, had laid it out pretty clearly. The three Haskell brothers, prosperous gentleman ranchers, had taken out life policies totaling $1.5 million, double indemnity. Which meant that their death in what was supposed to look like an accident at the bottom of the Midas Touch mine could cost Southwest a cool $3 million. And the finger of suspicion pointed straight at one hard luck Dennis, prospector and promoter. It was in Jake Kessler's office that I'd received the phone call from Hard Luck.
Where did Hard Luck tell you to meet him, Johnny?
I'll find it all right.
Where?
Look, I think I'd better handle this alone, Jake.
Johnny, he's being hunted by every available policeman here in Kingman. He's a killer. Like I told you, he got $20,000 apiece from the Haskell brothers, cash. Then took them down to the Midas Touch and caved it in on them.
All right, even supposing that he did, why would he do it?
Well, daggone it, that's as obvious as those two heads you're wearing. The mine is worthless.
How do you know?
Because smarter people than him gave it up over 20 years ago.
I thought you told me the ore samples he brought out assayed at $1,100 a ton.
Oh, now, look, Johnny, you know as well as I do that there's more ways to salt a gold mine than there is to skin a cat.
You have any proof that Hard Luck salted that one?
No, but Tad Harding will.
Who?
Captain Tad Harding, please. He hasn't lived out in this country all his life for nothing.
Where's Harding now?
At the Midas Touch. But when he gets back here, you see him. He'll show you that I'm right.
Well, if you are, it certainly would point the finger at Hard Luck Dennis, wouldn't it?
Can't you understand, Johnny? Hard Luck needed money. He's always needed money. He salted that mine, got $60,000 from the Haskells on a lick and a promise, then caved in the mine on them before they could get wise to him.
Good theory.
You'll find it's a fact. That's why he skipped out as soon as he... Oh.
Yeah, he couldn't have skipped very far, could he? And if he were guilty, why would he want to see me?
All right, Johnny. Now listen to me. The Haskells were three of our finest citizens. So the whole town will cooperate with you. So don't do anything foolish like meeting that Hard Luck Dennis alone.
That willingness to cooperate includes you, Jake?
You know it does. I'll do anything.
All right, then just give me your word you won't tell anyone that I'm meeting Hard Luck.
Well, now,
because
wait
if
a
you
minute.
Do, I'll drop this case like a hot potato. Well?
Okay, Johnny. For the time being.
Okay.
I just noticed out the window. Tad Harding's car just pulled up in front of police headquarters.
Then what are we waiting for? Let's go. Captain Tad Harding turned out to be a tall, well-built, cool-headed man of about 40 who impressed me as being able to cope with any situation that might arise. He bore out everything Jake Kessler had told me about the Haskells and about Hard Luck. And he added two new and very important bits of information. One, that he'd found nothing whatsoever to indicate that the Midas Touch had been salted. On the contrary, he'd picked up some very rich chunks of ore. Two, he'd learned the probable cause of the cave-in and what it meant.
I told you it was murder, Johnny. I told you.
Tad Harding had found a length of wire rope, one end wrapped around the spool of a powerful hand winch. The other end had very obviously been tied around a pillar, a thick pillar of rock and gravel that had been dug around so as to leave support for the ceiling of a horizontal shaft. Jake and I walked back to his office.
That's it, Johnny. No doubt about it. No doubt. A few quick turns of the handle on that winch, the pillar came down and the roof caved in.
I'll have to admit it certainly looks that way.
Well, at least the company's off the hook for $1.5 million of the insurance.
If we can prove that somebody operated that winch while the Haskells were down there.
Now, look,
and
Johnny.
That means finding that person.
I'm satisfied it was murder.
Would the courts be?
The courts?
Sure. When the claims on these policies are filed, they'll be for $3 million on the basis of double indemnity for accidental deaths. You can bet your last penny on that. Claims haven't been filed yet, have they?
Oh, no.
Well, I hope we'll have time before they are.
Time?
To prove it was murder by producing the murderer.
You still plan to see and talk to Hard Luck Dennis?
Yep.
Alone?
Yep.
When?
Sometime soon.
When, Johnny?
Tell you all about it after I've seen him.
Johnny, it's dangerous.
Say, look, if I'm going to stay at that place you told me about over at Lake Mojave, I may as well go and get settled, huh? How do I get there?
I'll drive you over, Johnny.
No point in that. I've got my rented car.
Well, you'll probably want to be seeing the mine, too. Maybe I can be of help to you.
Or maybe you just want to be present if I happen to keep a date with Hard Luck Dennis.
Now, I didn't say that.
You didn't need to. Jake, I want you to stay right here in Kingman so you can keep in touch with whatever the police dig up and still be in touch with me. There's a phone at the Lake Mojave Resort, isn't there?
Well, sure, John.
Also, don't forget, the $3 million claim may be filed here at your office any minute. If so, I want to know about it. Now, how do I get to Lake Mojave? Head east on Highway 68, he said. So I did. And 13 miles out of town, I found the little side road, Yucca Trail, that Hard Luck had described over the phone. The next mile and a quarter was about the worst driving I ever encountered. This was nothing but an old wagon trail. Several times, the crankcase and rear axle scraped on boulders in the middle of it. The trail had dropped off sharply from the highway, and as far as I could see, there was nothing but sunbaked rock and gravel of the Mojave Desert, splotched here and there with withered sagebrush, tumbleweed, some weirdly shaped Joshua trees, an occasional yucca plant with its stalk poking upward like a huge candle, and too many kinds of cactus to mention. All of it surrounded by bleak needles and crags of rock, by high plateaus and mesas. The going got so bad, I'd almost decided to get out and walk when I spotted the old miner's shack that Hard Luck had named as our meeting place. As I approached it, I could see no sign of life around it. Hello? Anybody here? Hard Luck Dennis? Hello? Nothing. No one. No sign of life at all, huh? The sudden movement at the corner of the shack was nothing but an ancient desert turtle plodding at what he probably thought was breakneck speed toward a shady spot under his sagebrush. Hello? Hard Luck? Anyone inside there? Well...
That's not...
What?
Should have looked around back at this shack right. Go and drink for anything, mister.
Hard Luck.
Dollar?
Yes.
Yeah. You come alone, like I said?
I don't see anybody else around.
Stand real still, Dollar. Don't move. No gun. That's smart. Sit down there on that bench.
Sure. Now, what's this all about, Hard Luck?
I didn't do it. That's what it's all about. I didn't do it. I didn't kill the Askell boys. You understand that?
I didn't think you did.
No? Why not?
Because if you had, I think you would have skipped the country. You wouldn't have asked me to come here and talk to you.
That's right. That's right, Dollar. Are you just trying to soften me up?
Not much point in that, is there, with you holding a gun on me? If you didn't do it, Hard Luck, why don't you go to the police in Kingman and tell them that?
I wouldn't have a chance. Judge or jury or anything else. The whole town's against me. They made up their mind I did it so the best lawyer in the country couldn't save me.
Apparently the whole town thought a lot of the Haskell brothers.
Surely did. Fine men. That's why I picked them, to share the mine with me.
The only reason you picked them was because they had money and you know it.
Yeah, like all the rest. Didn't you see the ore they took out of the Midas Touch?
I heard about it.
Rich, rich ore. $1,200 a ton, and I didn't plant it there. It's been there all the time. Even Captain Harden couldn't find where I'd salted it because I didn't.
Oh. You know that he was out there?
Sure I do. I know everything that goes on in this desert.
All right, then, look. Suppose you put down that gun and tell me what happened the day the mine caved in on the Haskells.
You bet I'll tell you. That's why I called you. But I won't put down this gun until I'm sure you're on my side.
Well, then, wave it in some other direction.
You want to hear what I got to say? Then sit still and listen to me.
First, tell me this. Was it murder?
It was murder.
Then who...
But not by my hand.
Then who did it? Do you know?
Yes, yes, I know.
Who?
They wanted to see the mine again, get some more samples. That was last Friday.
The day of the cave-in.
Yeah, so I took them down there, gave them a pick, showed them where to chip it off down on the second level.
Go on.
But then I left them there for a minute.
Why?
I heard a car. Heard a car pull up, so I went back out. Went back to see who it was. There wasn't supposed to be anybody around that mine. I had it posted. But I'd heard this car pulling up.
Well, go on, go on.
So I left the Haskells below and went
you
on
You said
up.
That.
In a hurry I went. No time for my eyes to get used to the bright sunlight outside. All I saw was the car. When I stuck my head out, that's when it hit me.
What do you mean? When what hit you?
A rock, a club, or something. It knocked me out. When I come to, the cave-in was all over. The Haskells were dead in there. And I knew what everybody would think, so I lit out, stayed in the desert.
Well, do you know who it was who hit you?
Sure, by the car.
Who?
The same one that made the cave-in.
Who?
Dollar, it was... Listen, there's somebody coming out there. You cheated me, you brought him!
No, I did not. Hard luck. Get away from the door! Duck! Hard luck. Yeah, I guess they named you right.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, the so-called trackless desert yields a set of tracks that lead straight to... But if I told you, you'd know, wouldn't you? So join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote this week's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, Hard Luck makes that fatal mistake of being a typical mystery character who just refuses to reveal what he knows about the murder until it's too late. Smart witnesses should go ahead and tell them who did it first and explain the what's later. But that leaves definite mystery for Johnny. There are a few things I think that were somewhat interesting. You have Pat McCracken, of course, who believes that he can just interrupt Johnny's vacation, usually can get away with it for money. You know, of course, Johnny's freelance, so doesn't technically have to do any specific work, but Pat McCracken, such a forceful personality, can drive him from over the phone. There were a couple things I also liked. One thing I really liked about this episode was the descriptions of the area. Just beautiful descriptions. And it's possible, very possible, that Jack Johnstone, the writer, was very familiar with this area. You know, this, of course, being written by someone who lived in California. And perhaps the most important thing that happened in this particular episode was that we got introduced to Johnny's passion of fishing, which I think is a key characterization thing. It's something that writers are taught all the time. And to give your characters things to do that are outside of the plot, it makes them seem like they are real, living, breathing people. And oftentimes when detectives do things, it's merely a contrivance. They go skiing so they can get into a skiing murder. They'll go fishing, they'll get into a fishing murder case. With Johnny, well, of course there'll be a lot of cases around fishing. It is a definite passion. And I loved it when Johnny was like, I'm getting tired of fishing? I don't see how that's possible. I mean, really, that gives him such a great actor and character and such a great attribute that's really going to serve the series well. All right, well, that will do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with our first episode of The Casebook of Gregory Hood. And you want to be with us on Wednesday as we continue the Midas Touch matter. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.